Welcome back, Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham. How are you?
Glad to be back, actually.
Oh, good. So you've been on quite a voyage. Tell us all about it.
So, it wasn't quite a voyage, but it was just that I was in Shenyang in the north of China, which is not at all known to the West, and I was treated as a person of great curiosity by the proportion of the 9.3 million people who live in the city.
Oh, wow. you are a great curiosity. I'd take the compliment. We treat you like one, too.
They're practicing hello. They were practicing, and so I said ni hao in return, and all was happy.
Nice. But
I was really interested in looking at the ways in which religion is being practiced in China today, because just on the 1st of May, so before I set off, the Chinese government issued new instructions on the behavior of foreigners as regards religion in China.
Uh-huh.
And basically, the foreigner is not permitted in any way to provide money or support for any religion in China.
Okay.
Other than that they can attend events, as long as they're permitted to do so and don't go to illegal events.
Right.
And so that's stopping, it is actually following up on regulations issued before that stopped quite a number of both Muslim and Christian and Buddhist sort of missionaries from other parts of the world who took that opportunity to go to China when it became easier to get up residence in China. So
going in there and sort of telling them what to do, essentially, or having or paying for influence even.
That's right, precisely. You can't send money into China, it seems, although I have heard of an exception since then. Now, the interesting thing to me was that my attempts to go to church failed completely, because the two churches that I wanted to try to go to had both had notices. Well, I'm not sure about the first, but the second one certainly had a notice on the door at a time that it was advertised as having a service in English. Had a notice on the door saying under maintenance, or that, I mean, I can't translate it, but it declared that it wasn't open.
Oh.
It was closed for maintenance reasons. And this was a big, big church building in the Korean part of town, which has quite a reputation, and I think has five or six levels which can hold worship simultaneously. And so it would have probably, typically have had 5,000 to 10,000 people going through it every day, every Sunday. And that was exactly parallel to the other one that I had tried to go to.
Under maintenance.
Yes, so exactly what is going on? These are official churches. These are registered, respected churches linked with the China Christian Council, which is the approving body.
Uh-huh.
But it could well be that in that part of China they're tightening, they're clamping down on Christian expression. Who would know?
Right, and did they seem like those signs might be there to stay for the time being?
Well, they looked like put up by the people in charge of the thing. It didn't look like a government sign.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I mean, you would think that they would give an alternative place of worship where they were meeting.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah, this is not
so
happening.
That was curious.
Mm.
And so that's pretty significant, really. Whereas I bumped into a delightful person of Seventh-day Adventist persuasion, and she was encouraging me to go to their church. But unfortunately, on that day, I couldn't do so.
Yeah.
So I went and looked at the building, and this is a magnificent building that they have built, raised money for themselves, according to a website, and have built, you know, really quite a grand, superb modern building.
Wow.
With a big cross on top, which is not typical of Adventists, but with a clear Seventh-day Adventist sign on the side of it. No times of services, but that's where things are complicated in China.
And what's the history of Seventh-day Adventists in China?
I can only rely on what the Adventist website says, which says that they have their own arrangements with the Chinese government, because they say that there was no cooperation of the China Christian Council, because that's the Protestant group, which is an officially recognized group, and as Catholicism is officially recognized, but under conditions, you see. So the Adventists have clearly developed their own deal with the government, but also, according to the report that I read online, this has been a hugely successful operation, that in this part of the country, Adventism is far bigger than it is in other places. And it has the range of social and educational programs which Adventists, I don't think they do Weet-Bix, but
yeah.
there are other issues that they have. So that's quite interesting, that one group that's probably regarded as a bit sectarian by other Christians has got its own deal with the government.
Interesting. I wonder if that's sort of how it has to be done.
Yes. I went and looked at the Catholic cathedral. The cathedral is only open on Sunday, according to the notices, but it does have it's behind a wall, and it is it's a tourist attraction in Shenyang, actually. It's a French church built in the 19th century, and people go there to have their wedding photographs taken, not in the building, I don't think, but just going through the archway towards the building.
It's a nice place, yeah.
Yes. There was a cathedral shop open, and I went in and took photographs of the, well, dreadful ticky-tacky objects of plastic worship, which are favoured in some quarters.
Yep.
And there was also a big sign above it saying that this was where priests for the Archdiocese of Manchuria were trained. Now, China, you understand, there was a deal done between the Vatican and the branch of Catholicism, which was not allowed to select its own bishops. The bishops were chosen by the Chinese government.
Uh-huh.
And so it was an underground Catholic church which looked towards Hong Kong for its bishops. And they've been very bitter about the Vatican undermining this. And I don't think it's worked very well. I think the government is still using an iron hand to control Catholicism in China.
Interesting.
But what was really interesting is, desperate for news, because there's a very limited number of news sources you can read in China, I read the People's Daily and watched TV, and they do report American news of riots, etc., with some glee. But there was a striking story as the top story one day of the Panchen Lama. That's the person who's the kind of rival to the Dalai Lama, who was elected by the Chinese government as a little boy, greeting President Xi, and a kind of ceremony where there was an exchange of gifts, as there always is in these sorts of functions,
yeah.
And a little exhortation given to the Panchen Lama and his entourage by President Xi, exhorting them to stir up people to good works and to encourage them along. Because China has a fairly tight control of what Tibetan Buddhism survives.
Right.
But the other really, really interesting thing was that there are four pagodas in the city for the north, south, east and west, plus an older one.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to each of them, although one wasn't open. And a couple of them, I went around the lunch hour period. And there in the pagoda and in the adjacent temples, Buddhist temples, were hundreds and hundreds of people with books practicing reciting Buddhist texts.
Wow.
It was, and then in another one, they were copying Buddhist texts. It was phenomenal. And then in another one on the, I think it was the Eastern Temple, and Pagoda, there were a huge number, no, I exaggerate, probably about 100 stone sort of placemats. It's strange because they weren't placemats, but they were for you to lie your mats on,
mm-hmm.
so that you could do Buddhist exercises lying extended on the ground looking towards the pagoda.
Huh.
And then there were lots of little flames. What I got the impression of was an enormous revival of Buddhism going on in China.
Yeah, and clearly sanctioned by the government.
Oh, I think the government,
here.
See, they treat Islam, I didn't see any Islamic, I don't know that Islam would be very strong in Xinjiang. I did see one Muslim wearing the Muslim cap. But Islam, Protestantism and Catholicism are the three allowed foreign religions.
Oh.
But the foreign religions are under these very strict codes where they will be, you know, tightly monitored and ordered to preach messages that are concordant with President Xi's thought.
Right.
I do have a copy of the three volumes of President Xi's thought, which are a kind of interesting blend of Marxism and capitalism and nationalism.
a real best of.
Yes, it's quite a unique blend. So I was really struck because China's a very secular society,
yeah.
I guess, and people are totally caught up into spending and doing well for themselves. But what an interesting sight of the flourishing of Buddhism going on.
Yeah, and did you get the feeling that the texts and the Buddhist messaging that was happening was, given you said it was sort of governed by sanctioned messaging from the government. Is it in keeping with Buddhist teachings at all, or is it a fairly unrecognisable type of Buddhism?
Yeah. I think Buddhist books that are published will be carefully checked to make sure that they conform to messaging.
Yeah.
And Falun Gong, which was in its origins a sort of a kind of Buddhist position, was, of course, rendered illegal and subject to horrendous stuff. Let's not go into that. What I think that Buddhist texts are readily available. Certainly in the bookshops, there seem to be some things that look like Buddhist texts. But I didn't see them on sale in the temples, but people were working through these booklets very freely. And a lot of young people going in and out of the temples as well. So something is going on, and it's really interesting.
I think
religion, you can try and, because CP members, Communist Party members, aren't allowed to practice religion.
Yes, it's possibly almost a type of rebellion.
Well, yes. I mean, only a small proportion of Chinese are Communist Party members. And I think if you put together all the practitioners of the sundry religions, you'd probably easily get to at least a third of the population of China, I would think.
Hmm. Very interesting. Well, thank you for your insights. That is... And did you have any kind of, you didn't have any sort of breakthroughs, you sort of came, you saw, and you felt a bit conquered?
Well, China is a bit overwhelming on the senses. I mean, the major thing that impressed me, Matthew, was how primitive New Zealand looks compared to a modern Chinese city.
Yeah.
What a magnificent underground system. But I tell you, there are too many cars.
Right.
And it's the most dangerous place in the world to try and cross a pedestrian crossing. That's all I can say.
Well, I'm glad you're with us. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again next week, I'm sure, about some of the many mad things happening in the world as we speak.
Indeed, very much.
All right.
Yep, very good. Bye-bye.
Not long now before Ned Collette pops into the studio.